Blog Talk Radio.
We are hours away from the biggest event of the year for millions upon millions of movie geeks all across the globe. It is Oscar night on Movie Geeks United, and tonight we'll be accepting listener phone calls. Please give us a call, share your thoughts, predictions, your opinions on the ceremony in general, what you'd like to see out of tonight's show. Whatever you want to talk about, give us a call, 718-508-9477. It is Oscar night on Movie Geeks United. And I was hoping to get some theme music there.
We didn't get theme music. We didn't get
that.
Are
we supposed to do the barbershop quartet thing at this point?
I know. Was it the... Man, my computer is so slow, we were unable to upload the opening music. And so I brought it up on iTunes. I thought, here we go. And, you know, iTunes, it just takes 30 minutes to get a track going when it first comes up. So
I hate the music anyway. I can't say I'm sorry not to hear it one time.
Yeah, the 34 music.
It's like geeks, man. It's our announcement. It's, you know, herald the geeks. Here they are.
Yeah. I definitely think there should be music. I'm just saying I hate the music.
So what is how you guys feeling? You guys excited?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I am.
I always feel the same way, you know. Like the real excitement doesn't start until the actual show starts. I couldn't care about watching people walk down a carpet, you know. But when the show starts and they start handing out awards, I get really excited.
But right. What if they trip on the carpet?
Oh, well, that would be great.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page, you know what I mean?
I'm wrapped up in the excitement of all of it. I'm one of those gullible guys every year. But this year I think is particularly exciting because I think we're in for some surprises.
I hope so. I really hope so, Jamie.
I think it's not going to be. I think we're on different boats on this one, Jamie. I think it's going to be straight down the line, very predictable awards handed out.
You think it's going to be the Guild Awards, basically?
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure it'll be the exact same ones, but I don't know. I don't want to make stupid predictions right before the show that are different than my own. I don't know anything.
Well, we've already made our stupid predictions a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we did it a couple of weeks ago. I mean, like, a big surprise would be for Best Supporting Actress if the girl from Atonement got it. That would be a huge surprise.
That would be gigantic, yeah. I mean, no one's even mentioned that, really. Everyone, it's like, seems to be between the big three in that category.
Yeah, it is.
And luckily, like, that category is always so exciting. The supporting categories are always so exciting. And luckily, they've come towards the beginning of the show, typically.
Yeah.
So,
That's
get
true.
That out of the way, you know.
Yeah. So that always gives Chris a good excuse to leave my party early. that's really... That's really what we're getting down to here.
This is all about.
right. Actually, when I was on that show last week, we did an Oscar panel with Jason O'Brien, who does an Oscar show here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're talking about the kind of the traditions of Oscar that we like. And I'm geeky. I mean, Chris can certainly attest to this. I'm geeky about the Oscars. I always have been. But it's one of those nights that I cherish, and yes, I record it, and yes, I rewind to see the reactions when they announce the winner. Like, but I'm geeky about, you know, kind of being quiet while the nominees are being read, and, you know, that moment of suspense. And
extremely geeky.
Oh, we have eyewitness accounts of this.
Yes.
That's all right.
No, I wouldn't. You know, I never want to miss. Going to a party at your house for the Oscars, because you feel the same, you know, I feel the same way about it. I'm like, hey, they're announcing, you know, this is serious. You can talk during the commercials. You can talk during some stupid, you know, tribute to, what is it?
Yes.
Think, horses in films or something like that. But don't.
Glue Factory, great moments?
Yeah, exactly. Glue Factory,
great moments in Elmer's history.
That's right.
We're going to be talking about this in the show, too, because I'd like to, and anyone that wants to call in, our number is 718-508-9477, not just to give us your predictions, but to share with us what you hope to see tonight, what you hope not to see tonight. You know, that's probably a longer list, because the Oscar telecasts, as we know, they're not perfect.
No, they're not. Let me ask you this. Do they have a buffet at the Oscars?
No, they have to wait to eat until after.
Oh, really? Because I'd love to see Liz Taylor go after Roseanne in the buffet line, like a fist fight breakout. That'd be cool.
Now, you see that at the Golden Globes, dude.
Okay, all right.
Or the Raspberries, where they hold it at Morrison's or something.
Yeah, Sean Young getting into a fight with
Julian Schnabel again.
Julian Schnabel, yeah, that would be great. No, but the thing is, they don't get to eat, but, you know, it's, what, 3 hours earlier over there. So if it gets over at 11, which it probably won't, then it's, what, it's only 8 o'clock
eight.
Over there.
Yeah.
So they're fine. They're doing okay.
They get to eat. Well, they have to go through press lines and everything. And, you know,
stop
they get
the
to,
press.
They get to finally eat like at like 9 o'clock.
I have important news.
Oh, the
Ty is calling in.
Poor George Clooney needs a cheeseburger.
please help. Please feed this person.
Yeah, please.
We have our first caller.
Ty.
I thought it was Ty. Ty, are you 717?
I am.
Ty, good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Sorry.
It's been a while. It's a big night.
It is a big night.
Tell us your thoughts.
On what? The Oscars? Oh.
Whatever the first thing that comes.
Yeah, really, just whatever. I mean.
I have lots of thoughts, Jamie.
Well, that's why we're glad you called in. Come on.
Yes,
that reminded me of you can't stop thinking about her, can you? No. She won't leave your mind, will she? Who? Whatever that making
exactly.
Deadline is. Go ahead, Tosh. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I have all my picks here in front of me, but Jamie and I emailed about this movie, and so did Chris and I. I don't know if Jerry has seen it or not, but the movie that I feel was snubbed completely is Into the Wild.
Big time.
I was so blown away by that movie. I mean, I'm still thinking about that movie since I've seen it. It was awesome, I thought. What do you guys think?
It was awesome. I mean, it's astounding.
I talked to Jerry about this earlier today because I just waited. It's ironic that you bring this up, Ty, because I just watched it Friday night, and I think the disc comes out in like next month or something. But it's a two disc special edition, and it's got a couple of featurettes on the second disc that are pretty interesting. But the movie itself, I knew that I had just experienced something, but I wasn't sure what exactly it was. I mean, it felt cathartic in a way. And so I went back that night and I watched most of it again, which I rarely do. And it was just kind of sorting my thoughts about how I feel about the lead character, because it doesn't sugarcoat the lead character. I mean, you can easily see that this guy is a selfish prick maybe at the beginning. I mean, he sells all of his college fund, like $24,000.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets rid of his car and all of his possessions and his family. That's the thing that's difficult about it. And this is why I'm very thankful that they didn't take dramatic license with it. They told it as it happened. He never said goodbye to his family, to his sister, who was his best friend in
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
Well,
what
I thought was
that, you know?
I mean, I did some reading about the movie and the making of the movie, and the guy who wrote the book based on this guy's life actually had to go and find all these characters and interview them for this book.
Yes, he did.
I mean, and that's amazing to me, considering all the the vast spectrum of the people in this movie, all different walks of life. How did he find all these people to get their story? I just thought that was amazing. But, I mean, and I was talking to Chris about this too. I mean, I liked Michael Clayton. I mean, I thought it was a good movie, but I wasn't moved by Michael Clayton. I mean, I feel like I've seen that movie before.
It's a Hollywood movie.
It is.
Yeah, out of all those movies nominated tonight, it is a Hollywood. It is a Hollywood product.
It's the closest one, really, of all of them.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I could easily slide.
However,
into the Wild.
However, what? I think it represents the best, you know, a good solid. I mean, it's a good solid Hollywood movie. I mean, it's, you know, it's
sure,
what they used
I mean,
to churn out.
Can I add something in Clayton's defense?
Yes.
I think what it is the first adult film released this year. Really, except all right, I will include Zodiac and Breach, but you know, those films unfortunately don't. Those I think were definitely, you know, two very adult films, two released early in the year. But Michael Clayton was the first serious adult film of the year after a very long drought, especially with, you know, the big summer blockbusters and everything. And I think that's where it, because critics, you know, are bored or whatever with the, you know, the big spectacles, and this was something they thought. And I do think to a certain degree, yes, it's a very good film. Is it showing us anything new? Not really. It's a thinking person's John Grisham.
But is it one of the best movies of the year? Is it one of the five best movies of
the year?
I don't know.
It does not challenge you like Into the Wild challenge.
Yeah,
no, not at all.
And so I don't think it'll live as long.
I've heard other people call it a thinking person's movie. And I don't want to say that the movie is not intelligent. It is. It's an intelligent movie. However, there are some movies that make you think when you're watching them. And actually, Michael Clayton seems like it does, but it really doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, it unfolds pretty much on its own. It doesn't make you think at all, really. It doesn't. I mean, it has some themes in it that it's kind of exploring, but it's pretty much an open book. It's pretty straightforward.
Well, I know, Chris, your take on it is it's the movie's fine, but what's spectacular about it? What's special about it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty true way to say how I feel about it. Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I didn't love it. I wasn't crazy about it. No.
I think it is one of those genre movies that are just like so many others, the underdog against the big system, you know, that Hollywood loves. I think it's a Hollywood movie. I think it's respectful of the Hollywood traditions. I think it's got a great movie star performance from George Clooney, great supporting.
Oh, I think it's one of the best things he's done since Three Kings, without a doubt.
But I think the thing that impressed me most about it from the writer's standpoint, a Tony Gilroy's standpoint, was that the peripheral characters, you get to know all of them. I mean, you get to know his family, you know, characters that would just be sidelined. I mean, they feel authentic in this movie. And that's an area that I was impressed with. I was impressed with the way it was the very ending of it. I love.
I can't say I agree with that really. The characters again that like they have this illusion of being kind of fleshed out because you see little pieces of them. But I didn't really feel like I knew anything about Tom Wilkinson's character really, other than the fact that he had bipolar disorder. You really didn't get into this guy's life, you know? I mean, he was trying to do the right thing. Same with Tilda Swinton's character. She just comes off as this, hard-ass CEO that is making these tough decisions, but you don't really know anything about her. And actually, likewise for Michael Clayton's family, kind of get a piece of it, but not really much. And it didn't really feel like it was engaging me.
Well, his one brother, I thought that was they could have totally did without his brother in the end, who has to pick him up after his car explodes.
Yeah.
And they kind of have that reconciliation for a brief moment. And it's just like, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was kind of pointless.
See, I did find that I knew the family and the child and the brother and everything, and that wasn't something I was expecting from the movie. And in terms of Tilda Swinton, I thought that was a multi-faceted character, especially the way she played it. Is that how far is too far? I mean, she crossed the boundary, crossed the boundaries in her service of the company,
right?
And she became, you know, it could have been stereotypical evil where she had no remorse or feelings about it, but she was conflicted and she knew she was at the point of no return.
Let me chime in here, because I like this film a lot, but I also saw this early on out of the gate, so I can definitely understand. You know, you hear all this stuff about these movies, you know, when they are get a wider release or whatever, you see them on DVD. And, yeah, they must seem, you hear all this hype and you're not blown away by them. But I think the thing about Michael Clayton is, and we talked about this when the film came out, Jamie and I, is that it does go back to the really important social issues, movies, performances of the 70s. And Clooney's obsessed with that. He likes to go back to this territory, whether it's a Siriana or Good Night and Good Luck. And I have to say, he does some of his best work here. And as someone, I think it was Anthony Thurber, pointed out on our chat room, it's a movie, really, the performances are the movie.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you something. The scene where he confronts Tilda Swinton at the end, that's the money shot. And that's a great money shot. I love it.
Yeah, it's the most exciting moment of the film. Yeah, it's the only time for me that the movie really came alive was towards the very end.
Yeah,
and especially that scene. Yeah,
I like.
Yeah,
it is a classic movie star performance, and that he really holds the screen and in a way in the tradition of the best movie stars, where he doesn't have to say a word. Yeah, he holds it.
I do have one other thing about that movie, though, and this is a little thing in movies very recently that's bothering me.
Shit.
What is up with, doesn't it seem a little bit lazy to just name a movie after the main character? We're getting a lot of that lately.
Right.
And it just kind of seems like, and then after I was thinking that, I was like, well, what else would you call that movie? And I didn't write it, so I wouldn't have any idea what I'd call it. Well, we're getting that a lot lately. The movies just with the lead character's name in the title. But that doesn't really tell you anything about the movie. Is the movie about Michael Clayton?
Are you talking about like Juno and Charlie Bartlett?
Well, yeah, those are two other ones.
Okay.
We get a lot of them.
Yeah.
Seems like more and more we're getting them. But I don't know. Just a little small observation I made that just always comes off a little lazy. Those great movies of the 70s that we compare this to, can't really remember any of them that was just like the main character's name, you know. Bonnie and Clyde, I guess, but...
Yeah, I
can understand what you're saying.
I know where you're going.
That's an original argument. But Ty, in terms of Into the Wild,
yes.
My thoughts aren't fully concrete on it, but I do feel like it is an experience. Is it sad? Is it hopeful? I mean, because at one point you're very sad at how it turns out, but at the same time. I mean, he lived a life. He lived the life that he wanted to. I mean, he found adventure. He found what he was made of.
Right.
So, is it a tragedy? It's not an easy picture. But I think that it's Sean Penn's shining moment. And I said this to Jerry earlier. It seems like the one movie out of Sean Penn's resume that he has made for not just himself. Where, you know, the other movies he made and he thinks, you know, at least I like these movies. This seems like a movie that belongs more to the people. The first one he's done like that.
It's his most accessible film as a director, without a doubt.
Yeah, and talk about the Academy. You would think that they would eat up Emil Hirsch. That's the kind of role that they like.
Mm-hmm.
Real-life character, loses 50 pounds. You know, it's a given. But he wasn't, he didn't really get any notice pretty much anywhere.
Why is that, though?
I don't know. That's Ty, I don't know how these people really operate.
Right.
What about the Spirit Awards? What happened to the Spirit Awards last night? Who won big there?
Juno swept.
Juno swept the whole thing?
Yeah.
More or less, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman got it for the Savages.
Originally deserved.
Our boy from Before the Devil Knows You're Dead lost to Juno, which everyone is.
Yeah, Juno won Best Picture, and Ellen Page won Best Actress. Philip Seymour Hoffman won for the Savages. Kate Blanchett won from Out There, and Schwedel, Edge of Four.
Okay, I love him. What did he?
He won for Talk to Me.
Oh,
that movie with Don Cheadle.
I like that movie. That's a good movie, and he was very good in that.
He was an American Gangster, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
he's his brother. He's very good in that.
Yeah,
right. And Julian Schnabel won for the Butterfly movie.
Well, he is very deserving for that.
Yeah. And actually,
did he wear pajamas?
I have no idea.
Okay, everyone keeps talking about he's going to wear pajamas. So,
looking at the Entertainment Weekly predictions, because they handicap it, they give you a percentage of the votes that they're likely to get.
Right.
And it's very surprising in the director category. They give it to the Coen brothers. But second place, like real close, they have it handicapped to Julia Schnabel.
Really?
Yeah, that's been going on the last couple of weeks, is that he's been gaining in the second tier.
It really is like...
At the Globes, didn't he?
Yeah.
It really is a crapshoot, isn't it? And it's like the momentum of something. You got to be careful. You don't want to peak too early. And the last 2 weeks, you know, the perception kind of can change on some of these titles. I mean, it's really up in the air.
Well, every year you have one huge shocker. I mean, that just takes you for a loop. I mean, it always seems somewhere there's that big shocker. What do you guys think is going to be this year?
Oh.
I mean, if Javier Bardem doesn't win it, wouldn't that be ridiculous?
That would be a huge shocker.
It'd
That's
be an
the
upset.
One category that everyone seems to agree on.
Yeah, Daniel Day not winning it would be the
if
biggest shock of the
night. That's the big upset, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, that's
well,
not
I
happening.
Mean, I think the closest thing for upset is going to be Ellen Page winning over Julie Christie.
Right.
Well, remember, Marion Cotillard is favored, too.
Right. Actually, I chose Marion Cotillard, and I chose Daniel Day, and I chose Juno for Best Picture.
Really?
I think that Juno's going to be an upset, yeah.
Now, is that your favorite movie of the year, and you just think that's going to win?
No. I think No Country, or I think even more so, There Will Be Blood deserves Best Picture.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think that Juno might...
Juno
will
very
take
well.
It.
I think Juno will win the screenplay, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Without
a doubt.
She used to be a stripper, didn't she?
Yeah, she was a stripper. She did it for money. I read her book, and it's a very funny book to read. It's like what we were talking about on Wednesday's show. Everyone wants her to win to see what she's going to wear and say on stage.
Right.
Everyone wants to see a stripper on stage.
Yeah.
Except
Oscar.
Who doesn't? Maybe Julie Christie will strip on stage for us.
Well, you know, that could happen.
So Ty, what is your favorite part of the Oscar telecast, and what is your least favorite part?
Oh, boy. Well, like everyone, I hate the montages. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
Montage.
Yeah, I always think of the South Park. Was it South Park or was it Team America?
Team America.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know. My favorite part is always the Best Picture Award because it's, you know, they lead up to it, you know, 7 hours into the show, you know. You finally get to the Best Picture, and that's always the best moment for me. But, you know, I like the main awards. I mean, art direction and, you know, those are costume designs. Just like,
right.
That's the bathroom break and go get another beer part of the show.
Right.
For me. But, you know, I don't know. I like the host. I thought Jon Stewart was good. What did he host last time?
No, Time Before Last.
Time Before Last? Yeah, I thought he
believe
was good.
So. Yeah.
He was
good,
but I think, how should we say, you know, he is very good. I sometimes think he was too good for them, so I'm surprised that he came back or was asked back because he was, you know, his humor is too good for them. But it was always Clooney's acceptance speech for Syriana where he acted so offended by what Jon Stewart said. And I was just like, dude, George, he's on your side. You know, just give him a break. Like,
what did
he
say again, Jerry? I don't remember.
No, he just said how Hollywood, and he was only half right when he said that Hollywood was ahead of the curve, recognizing all these social causes and everything. And he was like, but it felt like he was like almost his back was against the wall, and like Stewart was offending the Hollywood establishment.
You know what?
He really wasn't.
That's why I kind of relished when Chris Rock hosted, because these people are just too damn sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get over yourself.
They need.
I liked Letterman. Everyone hated Letterman, but I thought he was really funny.
I love Letterman because he makes fun of it so much still.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Amy Ryan is on the red carpet. She looks like a complete 180 from how you see her in Gone Baby Gone. And coincidentally, she's my choice for Best Supporting Actress this year.
Yeah.
Another one of my controversial choices. And then Heidi Klum is up there with Seal, and I have no idea why they're there.
You know, if I could just butt in again, Jamie.
Yes.
You know, Chris and I have been having a good conversation about this past week, and I got caught up in Ruby Dee mania.
Right.
And Chris really opened my eyes to this, because when I first saw American Gangster, I left the movie thinking, oh, wow, Ruby Dee, she was really good. And I said that to Chris. I was like, I hope Ruby Dee wins it. And
why?
But then he said to me, why? You know, think about it. I mean, she really wasn't an Oscar-worthy performance at all.
That scene
I went back to it, yeah. I went back and watched it again, and he's right. It really wasn't.
Can I add, I'm glad to hear someone finally say this. Chris, did you originate this?
Well, we were talking about it online.
No, thank you.
We were talking about it online a little bit earlier today, and it was, you know, I mean, I liked American Gangster. In fact, I thought it was one of the better movies of the year. There's a lot of categories where I would take one movie out and put American Gangster in. I thought it was a really strong picture. But I thought Ruby Dee was good in the movie.
She's good, but she's not. It's not Oscar-worthy. I mean,
no,
right.
It's not. And the Oscars do this. And, you know, part of me is happy when they do it, when they, you know, recognize someone who's been around for a long time maybe doesn't get those kind of parts, and they get this part that comes so close to being one of those parts, so they recognize it.
Yeah.
But the recognition is the Oscar for her, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I just have to say, I thought the scene where she confronts Denzel Washington, the last scene she's in, is she's very good in. I thought the scene where she's walking up to the house when he says, "This is your house," was
right.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. We've kind of seen that sort of thing before, haven't we? I mean,
yeah.
We've seen new at all, especially in a year, like we said earlier, the category's always so strong. And Amy Ryan, for me, Gone Baby Gone, along with Zodiac, for me, those are the two movies that really got dissed. Gone Baby Gone, like, just blew me away, the whole
mm-hmm.
movie.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for Ben Affleck, because, you know, I've never really cared for him as a leading man. I like him, but, you know, he clearly makes really poor choices. He's a strong director. And
He is.
I think he's going to be around for a while. I don't think he's going to be one of these come-and-go actor directors. I think he's going to be the next Robert Redford, to be honest.
Well, yeah, he wrote that, too, didn't he?
He wrote
he
it. From,
yeah.
He adapted it from Dennis Lehane. I think it was one of the best actor directorial debuts since Eastwood's play Misty for me.
Absolutely.
Well,
not a
you're right.
Movie,
yeah.
Like really, like energizing, like exciting movie.
And plus, it benefits from this is a world that he knows, you know. And you got that sense that you would not have from someone that was just brought in, you know,
yeah.
Joe Schmo.
Right.
He's got a good ear. He's got a obviously a good feel for characters. I'm with Chris. I mean, I think we're all on the page that we all like Ben Affleck. We just have grimaced because he's been sabotaging his own career for so long.
But at least he owns up to it. What I love about him is he owned up to that.
And this is his turning point, and he knows that.
Yeah.
And it's very promising for him. In terms of Ruby Dee, it's very interesting that this year, in both the supporting categories, you have a similar story. You have what could easily be seen as the Lifetime Achievement Award for Ruby Dee and Hal Holbrook. The thing is that Hal Holbrook, he comes through with a singular character in the few
yes.
few minutes that he's given in that movie. And Ruby Dee, she's got a strong scene and an underwritten role. Hal Holbrook's role is not underwritten.
Right.
It serves the picture so well.
Well, he's perfect in that role.
Yeah, he really is. And Ruby Dee, you know, she's... I personally wasn't that crazy about American Gangster, but I think that, you know, Judi Dench won. She had 6 minutes in Shakespeare in Love. It's not unheard of
right.
in the Academy. You know, deserving is another topic altogether, and I would agree with you, Chris, you know, about the deserving nature of it. But
yeah, and I don't know how you feel about it, but when I look back at that year with Judi Dench, you know, it's like, did she really deserve it? I don't know, probably not. You know, it's a good movie, but did she deserve to win it for however many minutes she was on screen?
Right. Well, that was a tough year, and like I said to Chris, that year reminds me a lot of this year with the Best Picture nominees. I think that was 98, and that had Saving Private Ryan, The Thin Red Line, Shakespeare in Love in it. What were the other two?
Elizabeth, yeah.
That category was very strong. And I think when Shakespeare in Love won, that was a huge upset over Saving Private Ryan.
Well, that was a huge, big time.
You know,
yeah,
there's also the question of how we define supporting actors. and especially a movie like No Country, where aren't they all really supporting actors?
Yeah.
Aren't they all in support of each other? There's no role that, like, is given more time than anyone else's, really, I don't think.
And that's true
right.
with I'm Not There, too.
Well, yeah. So Javier Bardem could just as easily have been a leading, you know, as opposed to a supporting.
Right. Oh, my God.
He could have.
Him and Daniel Day-Lewis, oh, my God.
Tom Wilkinson is on the red carpet.
Those two characters, like, getting into a fist fight,
talk about milkshake bloodshed. Holy shit.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, like, what's your boy's name? I'm totally drawing a blank now.
Josh Brolin?
Brolin.
He got snubbed.
He did. He was awesome.
Yeah, I think for him, the year he had is what is his reward.
Yep.
I think in the future, he's going to be getting those, like I was talking about with Ruby Dee, he's going to be getting those roles that are definitely Oscar material.
And yeah,
and you talk about an intense performance. He gives one in American Gangster too.
He's great.
Damn intense in that movie.
He's great in that.
And Grindhouse also. He's got
yeah.
a nice little smarmy part where he shows up. He's
had
he's
a great
really
year.
Good.
He had a great year.
A lot of these actors we're talking about had really good years. How about Casey Affleck?
Jesse James.
Gone Baby Gone. Shockingly good in that movie.
Dave 3 of the chat room seems to think that the Best Cinematography Award will go to Atonement. You know, we're talking about the tough categories, and Supporting Actress is probably the toughest. Right next to that is Cinematography.
This year especially.
Yeah, and Atonement is definitely, you know, they talk about that shot. They talk about how beautiful the movie is. Every movie here in this category is so deserving. It's impossible, man.
Yeah, I don't know where you go. Each of those films, the cinematography is like stands out.
Oh, that shot on the beach.
Oh, the Dunkirk sequence is for me like one of the best scenes like that I've seen in so many years. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that movie was great too. And talk about it. I mean, do you think that Keira Knightley was snubbed?
I don't know.
Best performance by a boy.
Okay, here's the thing. All right, let me go wait till the laughter dies down.
Not since Tank Girl has a boy given such a great performance. Wasn't Lori Petty? Wasn't that a joke about Lori Petty?
Wait a second. Jamie, are you reading my diary?
No, but that was the joke about Tank Girl, like best performance by a male. Lori Petty, Tank Girl.
Jesus Christ, you've had a webcam in my house for a decade.
No, Keira Knightley is gorgeous. Isn't
she's
really
incredible.
Is.
For the record,
she looks like a woman.
I'm the only person that liked Tank Girl in North America. All right,
what?
Nick. But
no, you heard him right. Jamie does not think Keira Knightley is sexy. And
really?
You know what? I like all types of girls, and I can't exclude really skinny girls from that category. As far as really skinny girls go, she's number one. She's pretty hot. I don't know what Jamie's smoking over there.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this because every year there are let's get really shallow here. Every year there are blevy of gorgeous women on the red carpet and actresses.
Blevy?
Who's number one on our list?
What?
Who's number one on our list? Like the actress.
Nominee?
Yeah, the actress that shows up and you're just like, oh, makes your like heart pump fast.
Oh, Uma. Uma.
Uma. Yeah.
Uma for Jerry. Okay.
Uma.
For me, it's Jennifer Garner.
Really? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Chris, how about you?
I'm going to have to go with Maggie Smith.
Oh, man. You're into those cougars.
Oh, what?
Smith.
My old British woman joke didn't go over so well.
Where's Kathleen Turner?
For me, it's ScarJo, Scarlett Johansson. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what kind of crime is it that the other Boylan girl is rated PG-13?
What a wasted opportunity. What a wasted opportunity. My number one is actually Salma Hayek. Oh, my God. That is a woman.
Yeah, you can't argue there. I mean,
And when you counter my argument about Salma Hayek, that makes my heart melt. I mean, you see why I look at a Keira Knightley and I don't think she's quite all that feminine. Because Salma Hayek, that's a lot of woman to grab onto right there.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that Kate Hudson is pretty, Jamie?
I think she's pretty, yes.
Okay, well, I mean, she looks the same. I mean, she's just about the same as Keira Knightley chest-wise.
Well, she's a little more rounded, you know, in some other areas.
Tookus?
Yes. All right. Stepping away from the perverted aspect of the show.
Yeah, which really, even I'm surprised. Okay.
For me, the montages are a little old. The tributes are always nice. And whoever they give the honorary achievement award to is always
nice.
Who's
getting it tonight? Who's?
I think it's an art director. I think it's someone that started with Hitchcock. Actually, forgive me for not knowing that. It's an
Clint Howard.
Of the evening. No, it's not Clint Howard. Jerry, if you're
on
my computer, if you could look that up. I think it's an art director. He started off with Hitchcock. He's done.
Okay, yeah. Give me.
It's unique in that it's not one of the high profile. It is high profile in terms of crew, but normally one that does not get this kind of honor in the middle of a global telecast. You know.
True.
Jamie, did you guys see Once?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it too. I thought it was really good.
I've not yet seen it, but there's the argument that it could upset Enchanted tonight.
In the songs?
Yeah, well, that's the only one it's up for, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would. That's possible.
Well, maybe because Enchanted got three nominations, they'll all cancel each other out.
Right, right.
I love Enchanted.
It'll just be up to Jeffrey Rush and once.
Thank you, Wayne, for agreeing with my Salma Hayek and Perceive. I'm sorry you can't stand Salma Hayek, but man, I just can't.
No, this is good to know.
I'll be right back.
Oh, great! Thanks for sharing that with us.
Oh God. Anyway,
talking about Salma Hayek and once, I'm telling you, once would be enough with Salma Hayek. Go ahead.
Great, folks.
Okay.
I was gonna say, you know what I'd get rid of? I get rid of the performances of the songs. I'm saying get rid of the category, but do we need to hear all five songs? And tonight it's gonna be like a special promotion for Enchanted. We're gonna hear three songs from this movie.
Yes.
Do we need it? I don't think we do. Like, it's not like we're gonna hear it and be like, and then go vote. You know, the votes are already in. You know, like, well, it's enough already.
Yeah, it's not like American Idol where Ryan Seacrest is going to come out now and tell America to vote. Actually, I think that would make it better.
Robert F. Boyle.
What?
Robert F. Boyle. I didn't know how to really cut in. You guys are talking about Enchanted.
You're like some Vietnam vet having flashbacks.
Let's not talk about it. I read this interesting article about the deer hunter and coming home, but let's not go there.
That's great. That's a great Vanity Fair article.
Isn't
they're
that
Hollywood
a
issue.
Article?
Yeah, they're Hollywood issues out this month, and I definitely recommend that you pick that up.
Yeah, it's a good, definitely great issue.
Great stuff about Chimino in there. Him there, yeah.
Yeah, we should have him on the show. He's insane.
Literally.
I know. I mean, he lied about everything. Okay, Robert F. Boyle, he was an Academy Award-winning art director and production designer. Mm. Yes, in Hitchcock. Yes, that's a Saboteur, North by Northwest, and The Birds.
You know, didn't Ennio Morricone get it last year?
Yes, he did.
That was a great moment, too.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, gosh, I love his stuff. And then the year that Sidney Lumet got it, I think that was the year before that or something. And,
no, the best one of those was when Eli Kazan got it, and there
that was
controversy.
Great.
That's right.
Yes.
Ed Harris was real pissed off. You remember?
And Amy Madigan, his wife, was standing up applauding.
Yeah.
Doesn't Ed Harris just sort of idle on pissed off, though? Isn't that just Ed Harris being Ed Harris?
He's always mad.
Yeah. We're not going to see this guy in any Jim Carrey movies anytime soon, I don't think.
No, and you know what? I was speaking of Jim Carrey, I'm going to switch back over to Daniel Day-Lewis for a second. I mean,
okay.
I was talking to somebody. You'll see where I'm going. Just hold
okay.
on. You'll never see him paired up with Jim Carrey in a comedy. You know, you'll never see Daniel Day-Lewis.
You're really
going
out on a limb here, Ty.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, he's always good. He's always good in these very serious, somber movies where at the end, you know, you really want to kill yourself. I mean, it's pretty much all of his movies.
True. You make a good point, yes, but I have to say that actually he's got some comic moments in There Will Be Blood that really come out the second time watching it.
The most intense moment in the movie is comedic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some real comedy in this movie. The second time watching it, actually, I laughed out loud many, many times in the movie. And it's not, you know, not inappropriately. I really think that's what P.T. Anderson was going for. And
there are,
the performance.
There are two scenes, actually. You know, when he first is talking with Eli, and Eli keeps insisting on the church, the path to the church, and he's like, Daniel Day-Lewis is gritting his teeth. He's like, yes, Eli, of course.
Yeah, well, that scene at the dinner table when he sits down with Eli and Eli's father, they're first trying to work it out. That is one of the funniest scenes of the year, actually.
Yeah.
The second time around. It's
well, he has some great lines in Gangs of New York, too, where he's really funny.
That's true. Yeah, he's the best thing about that movie for me.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I think that any great actor, I mean, he infuses, they infuse the role with all the elements, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's important, too, because you've got to live in that place of the world of that movie.
Yeah, De Niro does it. Look at, like, Taxi Driver, some of the hilarious little nuanced performance in that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing about De Niro is he branches out into other things. I mean, he tries comedy with, like, Analyze This and other stuff like that, but you never would see – I I wouldn't see it, like a comedy build movie with Daniel Day-Lewis as the star.
At the same time, you're talking about De Niro, somebody that makes three movies a year.
That's true. Yeah,
and I think that what encourages me about Daniel Day-Lewis is he says that, no, I'm not tortured by what I do. I'm not a Brando guy. I love acting. It's just that it's so completely an immersive process to me. It's got to be something that is worthy of that intense commitment, you know?
Exactly.
I read some strange dirt on Brando last week, but I don't know if I should really share it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Brando, as you know, when he lived on the island.
God, I really had to pull your leg there.
When he lived on the island.
Right.
Costas Garvis went to see if he wanted to be a music box.
Are we talking about the island with all the half people, half animals?
Whatever Dr. island Moreau. He bought.
No, not the Dr. Moreau, dude.
Okay. The island. Well, he came out to see if he wanted, to be a music box, and he's like, Marlon just wasn't interested. The only thing Marlon was interested in, he collected people's fecal matter. And he wanted Costa Garvis's fecal matter. That was all he was interested in.
Well, that's all Costa Garvis ever put out. So.
Oh, no! I like Costa Garvis, but that was the only thing he was interested in. He was a big while he was alive, and at least while he was living on that island. Supposedly, the thing was he just wanted to collect your shit.
Wow. thank you, Jerry, for another conversation ender.
Yeah, I know. There you go, baby. That's
really, where do we go yeah. from there?
Back to Kieran.
What's that
going to
lead into? No one's going to be like, oh, that reminds me of a story.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Brando, you brought up Daniel. I just thought I'd share it. You know, where else are you going to hear it?
That's right.
That's awesome, Jerry.
Thank you, Ty. I don't know how to take that, but thank you.
Yes. So how about Ratatouille?
There you go.
Animated feature of the year.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's got it locked.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so.
And
yeah.
Deserving too, actually. Ratatouille actually was a very good movie. I'm not one of these people that says everything Pixar makes is great. I don't like the John Lasseter films. I just don't. But the Brad Bird films are really good. They are, and they're dependably good. So I thought this was a really strong movie.
It is.
I agree.
It is. I mean, so much so that it could be one of those. Do you like that animated has its own category now?
Yes.
Sure. I mean, do you remember when Beauty and the Beast got nominated in the Best Picture category?
Right.
I mean, so it's good that they have their own category because then another movie can be in the main category. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean,
typically, it ends up being like children's movie category, though. They don't nominate movies typically. That are for adults.
Persepolis is not a children's movie.
No. Typically, I'm saying.
Yeah.
This year is an exception, yes. But for the most part, it ends up being, it's like when they announce the awards, it's like, okay, what were the three kids' movies this year? Because that's what
Shouldn't the best movie of the year be the best movie of the year, whether it's animated,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
foreign
I,
or
I,
not?
I kind of feel that way. Like, if we get into that territory, it's like, what next? It's going to be like best, best horror movie of the year. We're going to start doing genres and things.
Right.
I would have no problem with that.
When are they going to start doing web movies? You know, best online movie of the year.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it's coming down to,
At this point, it's a legitimate question, actually. It's getting to that point. Like, some of these short films, like funnyordie.com, some of that stuff is really, really funny. Like, better than, anything you could see in the theaters.
I agree.
Yeah.
You can download a 5-minute movie that's got way more laughs than, whatever Hollywood's putting out, Brother Solomon or something like that. It's way funnier.
I just got noticed that Salma Hayek will be at the ceremony tonight. It's on the ticker here on E on the bottom. So I will be using the freeze frame of my TiVo this evening.
Okay, Anthony T. just brought up something really
good.
Yes,
go ahead.
Best and independent film.
Yes.
What about, should they have a category for that or... Because we have the Independent Spirit Awards, doesn't that fill that niche, or should the Academy actually? And what would you use to define? How would you define independent in the Academy's terms?
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say they couldn't. There's no way. I mean, how are you going to do that now? Because it's already so enmeshed,
Some would say this whole year is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, Juno. Juno's up for Best Picture. That's an independent project.
Yeah.
Well, Pulp Fiction was independent for, when it first came out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those were, I mean, that film, and then the, in 96 when you had The English Patient and Secret and Lies up for, you had these art house films that were up. I mean, it's, I don't know how you, what the criteria would be to make that distinction.
You know, I'm not for making the ceremony any longer, first of all. But if there was a category that I'd want to add, I think there is relevance to the cast, the ensemble.
Yeah.
Award. It's something that I really like about the SAG Awards. And there's something special about movies where the casting is just right, you know, and they all interact just perfectly with one another. You know, and that would go to the casting director, I would think. I mean,
right.
I think the SAG Awards gives it to the cast, but in terms of the Academy, I think that would go to the casting director.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you think the Academy should, and we've talked about this a couple times before, I know you don't want to make the show longer, but do you think the Academy should do the ensemble cast, or no?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I always like the idea of that award.
Right, but I mean, because I know you don't want to make but you want to take the montages out, which I understand.
Yeah, here's what I do. I like the opening monologue. I just like it. I mean, and usually they have competent people if Whoopi Goldberg's not on the stage, where the opening monologue is pretty fair. I mean, no matter who's doing it.
Right, but I
can deal with the opening movie montage. That's fine. That's tradition, whatever. Then get to the awards. Don't give me the shadow puppets. Don't give me the history of westerns. Give me the tribute. That's very nice year after year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make these little video featurettes on everything under the sun. You might can cut out the music categories, performances.
Performance.
It would be very streamlined, and it would be a very kind of enjoyable, a lot quicker show.
Well, look at the Golden Globes that we had this year. As much of a train wreck and as horrible as that was, there was a certain amount of pleasure from having it so much more streamlined and quick. Like that was in a small part of me was like a little bit happy that they did that. But at the same time, it was too far. You know, the Oscars are too long. The Golden Globe thing was too short. We need
right.
to find a middle ground here. We're talking like 4 hours for an award show. It's enough already.
Yeah, it's very long. Well, all right, let's talk about, in that regard, do you think the MTV Movie Awards are an improvement, or?
They're getting worse.
They're getting worse. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, so I couldn't give you an honest opinion.
As far as entertainment value, yeah, the MTV Movie Awards are more entertaining. Unfortunately, the nominees at the MTV, you know, I can't really get into 85% of the movies that are nominated. Like, I'm sorry, like I don't think that Pirates of the Caribbean 3 deserves to be nominated for anything. Like,
right.
You know,
well, the MTV Movie Awards, that's a party atmosphere. I mean, and the Oscars are always kind of like the respectful artist supporting artist kind of thing. I mean, it's an elegant evening. It's Hollywood glitz. And MTV is just a different creature.
Right.
I mean, in terms of structure, they have, because they're MTV, they have the rock bands play occasionally, you know. They don't even have to have anything to do with movies, necessarily.
Right.
But they have a sense of fun and stuff that maybe the Globes can learn from.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on the red carpet? Yeah, our good friend Eve wants to know what's going on the red carpet.
Anne Hathaway. They're showing Anne Hathaway on the red carpet. She's wearing a beautiful red. I feel like I'm gay or something. I'm talking about people's clothing.
Hey, speaking of Anne Hathaway, you know that car that was in? I'm the king of segue. The car that was in Michael Clayton that they blew up,
mm-hmm.
the same car that was in Devil Wears Prada. That The exact same car. They did some stuff to it, but it was the exact same car.
That car before it was blown up. I mean, okay,
yes.
Never mind.
So Anne Hathaway, she looks stunning on the red carpet. She's a great, beautiful woman.
Oh, my God, yes.
Someone made a point online, Jamie, that Randy Newman is not going to be at this year's Oscars singing like he is every year, which is true.
God.
Maybe he'll come out during Enchanted. Special guest Randy Newman, kind of like Elton John and Eminem that one year, for 8 Mile. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that movie. All right, never mind.
Another great actor that's had a great year's on the red carpet right now too. He's speaking of gay, he's just about to talk to Ryan Seacrest. And that's Jason Bateman.
He did have a great year.
Talk about a great year with
Juno
and the Kingdom and Arrested Development in development for a feature film. You know,
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's 2009, I think.
Yeah.
And he's got a supporting role in a big movie this year, Hancock. He's going to be.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, really talented guy.
Well,
he had an interesting career.
Right?
It started out as like a teen, you know, like teen heartthrob. Went away for a really long time. Comes back as this really strong comedic performer. So
yeah.
I think it's great. We need to see more of him.
Yeah.
I just want to let people know tonight, people listening tonight, that we interviewed Marco Beltrami last Wednesday, and he's nominated tonight for Best Original Score for 3:10 to Yuma. So we'll be cheering him on tonight. But there's also, we have a guest on this Wednesday. They're the filmmakers behind Peter and the Wolf. It's nominated for Best Animated Short. If everyone could cross their fingers, cheer them on. I'm desperate to speak to them, and even more desperate to speak to an Academy Award winner on a Wednesday show. Peter and the Wolf is the film, animated short. So be cheering them on. There's also one last piece of business I want to go over with you guys. It's been reported that the opening 90 seconds of tonight's broadcast will be one of the most beloved in Oscar history.
Is Randy Newman going to be in
the It'll bring one of the biggest moments in Oscar history, the first 90 seconds.
I know our power is going to go out when this happens.
What could that possibly be?
A montage.
Montage!
who has never showed up at the Oscars? I mean, Woody Allen finally showed up.
Yeah, he showed up.
After 9/11.
Yeah,
Roman Polanski.
You know what? Ew.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be.
Exciting.
I don't think
most
they would feel that as in that bombastic way. I think most people wouldn't really care. Unfortunately, I love Roman Polanski, but that can't be it. It's got to be. I think it's got to be a montage. Maybe they're just like building it up that way. What else could it be? What are they going to do?
I don't know.
Maybe
the cast of Lost is going to come out, and they're going to tell all the secrets in the first 90 seconds of the show.
Oh, my God, I would be so angry.
Oh, yeah, Billy Crystal. That's a great idea.
Yeah, Billy
Crystal coming out and doing one of his musical things.
Stephen Colbert joins Jon Stewart.
Oh, there you go, Jerry. That could be it.
Did you see that clip with Conan O'Brien and Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart?
Hilarious.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That one.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be co-hosted by Carell and Jon Stewart. I don't know.
I think that's got to be build up. I can't imagine that it's going to be anything, too spectacular.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie, one other thing.
We've
always talked about, and let's get these other guys' opinions about why they don't do this. You and I have always said, wouldn't the Oscars be the perfect time to debut some of these really big previews for these summer movies?
Yes.
Why don't they do that? Why don't they do that? They do it during the Super Bowl when,
Well, the Super Bowl is watched by half of America, more than half of America.
This, and I have a feeling this broadcast is not going to be maybe a quarter of America.
That's true, but the people that are watching it are movie watchers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it is still like the second or the third highest rated show year after year. I mean, even when the ratings dwindle. We're talking a global attention on the show. And it seems perfect, but I've read that their advertising dollars are higher than they've ever been. Even when it's come down to the wire with this writer's strike, they're demanding astronomical fees for 30 seconds.
Because I look for that every year. Yeah. I always look for it, and obviously this year it would be Iron Man, Indiana Jones, or The Dark Knight, or Hellboy.
Right.
Why don't they?
Maybe
the
Hulk preview that everybody wants to see.
Which one?
The Hulk or the X-Files preview, which just debuted at Comic-Con.
Yeah, at the WonderCon.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that. Thanks to Geeks of Doom who showed that clip. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful.
Yeah, very exciting. Like, the Oscars would be a perfect time to show those things, but they never do, They never do.
Right.
We're just stuck with L'Oreal commercials.
Yeah.
Well, are they L'Oreal commercials or are they, like, very violent L'Oreal commercials,
Well, do you remember that year where they had all the movie directors do Visa commercials, and they had like M. Night Shyamalan do that.
Shyamalan.
Maybe they'll show a trailer for his movie.
Right.
The Happening?
Yeah.
John Travolta's hairpiece is walking the red carpet right now.
Oh, my God.
Steve Carell is there with his wife.
John Travolta's hair, jeez.
Wow.
That man has a huge head. I mean, not in the egotistical sense. I'm speaking anatomically. He has a huge head.
Human growth hormone, Jimmy.
Laura Linney is on the red carpet right now. They're showing her. She's a pretty woman.
Now, that would be an upset if she won.
That nomination seemed to come out of the blue, really.
Yeah, and she's very good, and she's a very good actor. I just don't see it happening.
I think she's the rightful heir to Meryl Streep's throne, I think. The Academy loves her, and I love her, too.
Yeah.
She's a really great actress. Hopefully she'll be getting one in the next 10 years, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I agree.
We're showing Patrick Dempsey because he was on Enchanted this year.
Right.
So there's some reference to films. There's Ruby Dee and Red and Ruby.
Lady.
Is that too obvious?
It was a little easy.
Yes, Tony D, John Travolta is going to be singing and dancing tonight.
Yeah, Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is he really? That's great, I guess.
Did you guys like Hairspray?
I enjoyed it because I didn't think I would, you know, but I did like it. I won't lie to you.
I prefer Moose myself, but it tends to stay where
it is. It's our hairstylist expert, Jamie Duval.
They're interviewing Saoirse Ronan, who's up for Atonement, Best Supporting Actress. She's a young girl, isn't she?
Yeah.
So that's where they are right now on the red carpet. Ryan Seacrest is asking her, God knows what. Joan Rivers no longer doing the red carpet, so there's no, you're 13. Are you in rehab yet? Question.
Why isn't she doing
yeah.
it? Is she not on the TV Guide channel anymore? Or?
No,
she probably
dead.
Is. That's probably her last,
her
last resting place.
Yeah.
Amy Adams is walking up with James McAvoy. He's one of those guys. He's starting to come into his own because remember Last King of Scotland, everyone was talking about Forest Whitaker and rightfully so, but I was always like, what about this other guy? I mean, this other guy's
yeah,
really good.
He was great.
Him, but the movie itself was pretty freaking good too,
yeah.
And that got kind
yeah.
of...
Well, he's in Narnia too.
Yeah, he plays the Fawn.
The
yeah,
show on the Rock, the Rock's on the red carpet. With his daughter. Oh, no. I don't know if he's with anyone, but...
The Rock.
Which, you know... you guys can blast me now. You guys can blast me now. I cried during the game plan.
What?
I haven't seen it yet. Don't give away anything.
What's wrong with you?
I know.
I like The Rock a lot, so I can understand that.
He's going to be presenting tonight.
What's he going to... do we know what he's presenting, or...
No, I just saw the list of presenters, saw him on there.
He's presenting with Barack Obama, so it's going to be The Rock and Barack.
Maybe that's what tonight's 90 Seconds is. Maybe it has something to do
Hillary
with the election.
Yeah, maybe so.
This fight.
I can't see that they would do that.
Speaking of the election, Ralph Nader threw his name into the ring now.
Yeah, I heard it's official, yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why'd he do that?
Yeah, who cares, really?
Who cares? It's just the future of the country.
Yeah.
Back to the Oscars.
It's the most important thing.
Since we're off topic here, I'll take a moment to ask Jerry. Jerry, did you get to see Definitely Maybe?
Yes.
I went and saw it last night, and I got to say, it got really good reviews, and I was so surprised at how much I enjoyed that movie.
It's a good flick. I'm not going to lie. It's the first good, I guess you want to call it, chick flick I've seen in a while.
Nah, it's flawed, it's not perfect, but actually it's got a lot of originality, it's got a lot of heart, and some really good performances in it.
It does.
I was so blown away, and I laughed out loud multiple times. Really strong little movie.
It is. It is. It's actually, it's a well-done little film. And yeah, it is flawed, because you are like, well, I don't know about you, but like halfway through it, I'm like watching it. I'm trying to figure out, the telling of the story.
Yeah.
Who her mom is. What's the point? But besides,
all
right, taking that out of it, the performances are good, and there are some really laugh-out-loud moments in it.
Yeah, yeah, really strong comedic performances by Isla Fisher, Ryan Reynolds.
He's funny.
For this guy to really go mainstream. You know, he's been kind of flirting with mainstream for a while now, and I saw, again, he's taken a supporting role in the new Wolverine movie.
Right.
He is... comedically, I think the Chevy Chase comparisons are really easy to make because he sort of looks like him and he has a similar delivery sometimes. I really think that this guy's a really strong comedic performer.
I thought he really broke out in this movie.
Yeah, I did too. Really happy to see how touching some moments in his performance were. I would recommend this movie to just about anybody. I think anybody could enjoy it.
I think you're right.
You definitely do it?
Maybe.
Or just maybe.
Definitely.
Great.
I think we might be being cut off pretty soon if we haven't already on the live feed. But Steve Carell's there. Daniel Day-Lewis has shown up. You know, the people that actually have to be in the ceremony are showing up now. Excuse me. And I'm hacking up a lung. All right, well, guys, any last thoughts?
This was a great show.
I enjoyed it.
It was
a lot
of fun. Thank you, Ty, for calling in.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Right. Enjoy the show.
All right, you too.
See you.
All right. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. You have a great time watching the show. Chris, I hope I can watch some of it with you.
Yeah,
Jerry, anytime you want to give me a call during the awards, just go ahead and do so.
Okay, cool. You guys have a great time.
All right, guys.
All right, and good night.
Later,
thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.